Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go to Romans chapter 15 as we begin tonight. Romans the 15th chapter. We will start there and then we'll go to some other things. And we're talking about in our teaching, we started this, a couple weeks ago or so, I guess, talking about the blessing. Amen. And how, you know, when man was created, you know, God put a blessing on him. And of course, you know, then man sinned, he fell, and, you know, the blessing was hindered then. But God, you know, he's so good, he's so faithful. Thank God he's God, you know, of a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, whatever you need. But he called a man by the name of Abraham, got him in the earth, and started working with him to get that blessing back in the earth. And he told Abraham, "And you, all nations of the earth, will be blessed." Hallelujah. So Abraham's pretty important to our faith. Amen. And so, you know, God called him, got the blessing on him. And then there was somebody by the name of Jesus Christ. And he came and he redeemed us from the curse that the blessing might be on us. Amen. And so, you know, we talked about last week about the power of the blessing. Tonight, I want to talk about the fullness of the blessing. And I'm not sure that we'll get done tonight. And if we don't, I'll finish it next Wednesday night. But I want to begin by going to Romans chapter 15. And the blessing's important for you to know, that you need to know it to start with. You know, what you don't know is not going to work for you. You got to know, you know. And so you need to know that there's a blessing on you, and you need to expect more in life than probably what you're expecting. Yeah. Right. Amen? Amen? You probably need to be expecting a little bit more than what you are right now, all of us, because we have the blessing on our life. And so we shouldn't expect, now, listen now, we shouldn't expect just to have the same lot in life that the world has. Amen. That's right. I'm not saying that we're better than them, we're blessed better than them. Right? Amen. I'm not talking about us in our natural self. I'm not saying this with any kind of arrogance. But we shouldn't expect to just get by the way they get by.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We ought to expect more. We ought to expect better. Right. Amen? And so this is important to our life. All right? So let's go here to Romans chapter 15, verse 29. Paul said, this is Paul saying, he said, I am sure... It's good to be sure. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So there's a blessing of the gospel. And Paul said, I'm sure when I come, I'm going to come in the fullness. Fullness. Everybody say fullness. Now, if there is a fullness, that means there can be less than full. You know, there's an important gauge on your vehicle that you kind of got to pay attention to. It's got an E and an F on it. You know, it's good to pay attention to that. Anybody ever ran out of gas before? Yeah. Well, the reason why is because either the gauge didn't work or you weren't paying attention. But if it can be empty, it can be full.
Amen. That's right.
So there's the fullness of the blessing. Mm-hmm. I want the fullness of the blessing.
Amen.
You know, Brother Hagin said a long time ago, he said, the Lord said to him, he said, you know, he said, I bless my people as far as I can. What does that mean? Well, he goes as far as he can. But he can't bless everything, see. So he can only go as far as he can. And so he said, I bless my people as far as I can. And so, he said, I will. He said this to him. He said, I will bless them on the deposit of truth that they have. You know, the Lord only blesses the truth. How many know that? And so he only blesses the truth. And so that's all he can bless. And so this is what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about, and I'm not sure that we'll get through with it. If we do, fine. But if not, we'll finish up next Wednesday night. But I want to talk about this fullness of the blessing and how we walk in the fullness of the blessing. And you say, well, what does it mean to me? Well, it means that your life should be rich and full. Remember when in our first teaching, we talked about Abraham, how it said that he went, when he died, he was full, he was of a good old age. And the King James says, and full of days. But actually, the Hebrew just says he was full. In other words, he was satisfied, he was satiated. He was overflowing with the blessing. He was full. Hallelujah. And so I want to just talk about how to do this. Amen. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
All right. I appreciate some help tonight. If I don't get it, then I don't know that we're going to get very deep. So help me out tonight. Amen. All right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this fullness of the blessing. And I tell you what, let's go in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 8 and... you know, even if you don't like this message, if you're just my friend, act like you do. Well, I don't even think, maybe you're not even my friend. If you can have compassion on a brother, help me. Galatians chapter 3, let's go there. And so let's talk about this, about what and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about things, actually there's seven of them. I'm not saying there's only seven, but there's seven things I want to talk about that activate the blessing in our life. And once again, what is the blessing? Well, it's God's empowerment on our life for us to prosper, to be blessed in life, to get ahead, to be successful. Amen. You know, and not as the world defines success, as the Bible defines success. You know, the world has their definition of success, but, you know, just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're successful. Money is good to have. I like it, you know, and it's good to have. But that's not the guarantee of success. There's a lot of rich people take their lives because they're messed up. Right. And a lot of the wealthy people in our country are just screwed up. They're just messed up. There's just no other way to put it. Nice. They're just messed up. They don't think right. The blessing will make you well-rounded. Amen. It'll make you blessed in all areas of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Physically, spiritually, you know, emotionally, financially. Spirit, soul, and body. Let's just say it that way. It'll cause you to be well-rounded. Amen. So you're blessed in all areas. Remember, the Bible said Abraham was blessed in all things. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, you know, he had a child when he was 100. His wife was 90, so that's blessed. Amen. Well, not really. He was blessed because God wanted him to have it, but, you know, if I was 100 and Phyllis was 90, I don't want any kids. Amen. We're not even there yet. We don't want any. You know, Greg, he had a false prophet dream that he dreamed that Phyllis was having a baby, you know. You're a false prophet, brother. Hallelujah. Thank God this is the New Testament. The Old Testament, they stone you for that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's not going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, all right, so what are the things, if this blessing, if God's blessed us, like he said in Genesis chapter 1, and God blessed them, remember that? And so if he's blessed us, and then we read also, which we're going to read that scripture again, I think, but we read also how the blessing came on us through Christ Jesus. So there in Galatians 3 where we're at. If that's so, and it is, then what do we need to do to walk in the fullness of it? Because if you've been born again, you're already blessed. I mean, you have such blessing on your life that I really wish God would let me do this. He's not ever going to let me do it. I've wanted him to for a long time. Just let me take people and put them in hell. Now, wait till I'm done. You say, well, I've thought that myself too, Pastor. But here's why. Because I believe if you went to hell for 15 minutes, you'd come back and it wouldn't be so hard to get you to shout to be excited, to be happy, to be thankful, to stop complaining. You'd just be so glad you're not going there. I said, you'd just be so glad you're not going there. And so my point is if you've been born again, you're already blessed. You know, you've already received a great blessing on your life. If God never did anything else for you, He's done enough for me to shout all the way to eternity. All right? I got something to shout about. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, there's certain denominations, they don't believe in much else but the new birth, and they're born again and they're going to heaven. And that's good. I'm glad. But here's the thing. God has a whole lot more in His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. You can come on over and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And get a heavenly language that the devil doesn't understand. Hallelujah. Amen. And now you can come on over and there's healing provided. There's meeting of your needs provided. There's joy. There's gladness. All kinds of things. You know, anything that could go wrong in your life, Christ has redeemed it. I tell people this, you know, because I believe this. You should really read Deuteronomy 28 and not just the blessings. You should read those curses because that tells you what Christ has redeemed you from. I mean, here's everything you can think of in there. You know, from madness to hemorrhoids. Well, Pastor, I have hemorrhoids. Well, I got a word for you. You're redeemed from them. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up and shout. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, all the things that are in Deuteronomy 28, it's just telling us what is ours. See, that's the blessing of Abraham, see, and what we've been redeemed from. And you know, people will say, well, I don't think Christ redeemed this. Or listen, let me help you out a little bit with your theology there, brother. If Christ didn't redeem it, we're stuck with it forever. Because how would we get it off of us? Well, I don't believe Christ paid for your healing. Well, then we're sick throughout eternity. Because how would we ever get rid of it? If Jesus didn't do it. See, the Bible says by His blood, He's reconciled all things unto God. All things. How many things is all things? All things is all things. So that tells me anything that goes wrong in this earth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth has already paid the price for us to be reconciled from it. So when it shows up in our life, we can realize, well, you know what? This really doesn't belong to me. You ever read the scripture? It says, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. What does that mean? Well, it means the ones that we have to fight, they don't belong to us. That's an invasion of the devil. The ones that were due us, because we were due it through sin. We were due punishment. We were due that. But the ones that were due to us, just like He took our sins, He took our sicknesses. The ones that were due to us, He took those. So when we get attacked, when we face adversity, we can know right then, well, that's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. Amen. So don't call it yours. Amen. Amen. You say, well, you're just getting legalistic now. No, no, no. You listen, it's not legalistic. It just happens to be the truth. And I'll tell you who is legalistic. The devil's legalistic. And if you claim it, come on. If you claim it, then he'll see to it that you have it. I don't claim it. Amen. Sometimes I deal with those things. We all do, right? But I don't claim it's mine. It's not mine. It's an invasion of my. It's an invasion of my rights. I have rights in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so I'm not going to just sit down and take it and act like it belongs to me. No, it belonged to me. Amen. Doesn't belong to me. Amen. Now, so how? All right. If this blessing is ours, if it's been paid for. And it's ours. How do we walk in the fullness of it, not just the outskirts of it? Well, let's go here to Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read verse number 8 and 9, Galatians 3, 8 and 9. The Bible says in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture for saying that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Everybody say gospel. Now, what does gospel mean? All right, so God preached the good news to Abraham, and here's the gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed. What was the gospel? The gospel is the blessing is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, notice verse 9, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. So one of the ways that we walk in this blessing is by faith. Amen. We have to believe for the blessing. Mm-hmm. We have to believe in it. Mm-hmm. We have to believe for it. I don't expect my life to turn out bad. I don't expect my life to turn out like everybody else's that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I expect mine to turn out good. Right. Hallelujah. I expect to have favor. Right. I'm not demanding it of people. I'm not demanding it of God. I'm just expecting it. Right. I don't demand. I don't act like I'm arrogant. And you know how some people are. You know, there are people like that to think, you know, they got everything coming to them. And you feel like, hey, you got something coming to you, and I'd like to give it to you if the Lord would let me. But I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the fact that he's my Father, praise God. Yeah. And I expect my life to turn out different. Everybody on my block may expect that tornado to take their houses out. I don't expect it to take mine out. I expect mine to be spared. Amen. Well, everybody else may expect, you know, I'm going to get this or I'm going to get that. I don't expect that. I expect to be blessed. Amen. Everybody's expecting to get laid off at the plant. Well, don't you expect that? You expect to be blessed. Well, what if I do get laid off? Well, then expect something better. See what I'm saying? See, faith, here's the thing, you know, here's the thing about faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, but what else is it? It's the evidence of things not seen. Remember what Paul said? He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you know, the things that we're going through, just a moment. You know, I like what's that one translation? The Message here. It says, where the King James says, our light afflictions, the Message calls them small potatoes. I mean, it's not very accurate with the Greek, but it's funny, small potatoes. And that's kind of what Paul's saying, light afflictions. I mean, come on, guys. You ever read about Paul's afflictions? Most people today, they'd be whining and crying and left the church. They'd had a third of what he had. I mean, you read, you know, in Corinthians, you know, 2 Corinthians, some of the false teachers, false apostles start bragging about their ministry. Paul said, well, all right, you know, he said, I'm speaking as a fool. I hate to do this, but if anybody wants to brag, I can brag more. I mean, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. You know, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And let me just show you some of the trials I've been through. You know, I've been shipwrecked, you know. I don't know how many times he said he'd been shipwrecked. Just one time would have, you know, kept most of you off the Carnival cruise. I've been shipwrecked so many times. He said, I spent a night and a day in the deep, floating around out in the ocean. It's all for the gospel, folks. Yeah. And we get tongue-lashed. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Persecution against the church. They're talking about us. Paul said, you know, he said, 3 times I've been beaten with rods, 40 stripes minus one. So almost to the point of death, 3 times. You know, he said, I've been in perils of robbers, perils among countrymen, perils among false brethren, you know, weariness, fasting. You know, he talks about hunger, thirst, cold, nakedness. Come on, guys. I mean, he, you know, if you've seen his body, you know, his body had some marks on it where he'd gotten beaten for the gospel's sake. And he called it light afflictions. Light afflictions, which are just for a moment. He said, they work for us a far more exceeding eternal way to glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So he's saying we have to develop eyesight that doesn't just look at what we see. So here's the thing about the blessing. If you can only walk by what you see, you'll never be able to walk into blessing. The devil will keep you out. You'll be fenced out of it, and you won't be able to get in. You gotta be able to relate to that which is you know, invisible and spiritual. If your world revolves around what you hear, see, taste, smell, feel, just what you can get with your five physical senses, that's not faith. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? You know, Thomas, you remember Thomas. I remember doubting Thomas, you know. Now, you know, we call him Doubting Thomas, but we don't know that he doubted all of his life. Okay, he gets this one bad rap. But anyway, God put it in the book. You know, aren't you glad you weren't alive back then? So we read about what you did. You know, and so Thomas, you know, Jesus shows up, you know, he appears to the disciples. Thomas is not there. And he said, I'm not, you know, they tell him, that, you know, the Lord appeared to us. He said, I won't believe it. I will. You know, he could have said, I'll believe. But he said, I will not believe. And he said, I will not believe unless I see. You know, Jesus hears our unbelief. Because he shows up and he says, Thomas, come here. Look at my hands. Check my side out. He said, and stop being faithless. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't get excited about that. He said, Thomas, you've believed because you saw. Blessed are those that haven't seen and yet have believed. See, that's true faith. Amen. So we have to be able. So without faith, we can't walk in the blessing, guys. I mean, we're going to have to believe for the blessing to be on our life, for the blessing, amen, to empower us and for us to get ahead. Amen. You know, I'm not talking about, listen, I'm not talking about mind over matter. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. It had nothing to do with positive thinking. You need to think positive, but positive thinking alone won't do it. You got to have the Word of God on it. Amen. So see, the Bible says our blessings are heavenly blessings. So they're in the spirit realm. So you got to tap into them that way. Amen. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel. Come on, we got seven of these. I don't know that we'll get through them all, but if we can, we will. 2 Samuel, let's go there. So faith is one of the things that activates the blessing. We have to believe. For the blessing to be operating in our life. I mean, if you're going to live life, listen now, I'm going to say it again. If you're going to live life just expecting what everybody else expects, then you're not going to walk in the blessing. I'm not expecting what everybody else expects. I'm expecting better. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have the blessing on my life. They don't have it on their life. You have the blessing on your life. So we ought to expect better. Everybody say better. You know, not just the same thing that everybody else gets. See, you get your mindset can get into this, you know, the way the world thinks. You need to change that. You need to have an expectation that, you know, I'm going to get somewhere. Amen. Now, in 2 Samuel, let's go to chapter 6. I don't know if I told you that or not, but I didn't go there. 2 Samuel 6, verse number 11, the Bible says, and the ark of the Lord, let me stop there. See, the ark of the Lord was a type of different things, but one of the things it was a type of was a type of God's word. His covenant was in that ark. And so that's part of what it, you know, it was his glory, his presence. But his word, it exemplified, it was a type of his word, all right? So the ark of God, verse 11, continued in the house of a guy by the name of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. So this guy, you know, what happened here was the ark got stole by the Philistines, you know. They captured the ark. And it was a really bad experiment. It didn't go well for them. You know, they got all kinds of things that happened to them. And so they decided, you know, we're going to send this thing back. They captured it because they thought it would help them win wars. You know, they thought, you know, it helps Israel win wars. We'll capture it and it'll help us win wars. And, you know, they found out that, you know, that wasn't working well. And so they decide we're going to send it back. And so, you know, the thing comes back. And so David sends some people to get it and they don't do it the right way. You know, they didn't do it the proper way. They didn't seek the way God said to handle the ark. And so, you know, one of them died by the name of Uzzah. And David, the Bible says, was afraid of the Lord that day and said, you know, I'm not going to touch this thing. I'm not going to bring this to Jerusalem. I'm just going to leave it right here. And it ended up in this guy's house. Now, this guy, I mean, you know, he's just living life. And all of a sudden, the Ark of God is in his house. And the Bible says the Lord started blessing everything he had. We would say his socks got blessed off because of this ark. See, now, that's a type of what the Word of God will do for you if it's in your house. It'll start bringing blessing in your house. Now, what do we mean by the Word of God being in our house? Well, it has different applications that we can say. One, you're feeding on the Word. You're reading the Word. You're fellowshipping with the Word inside your home. But then you're living the Word. You're teaching the Word. You're doing the Word in your home. Your home is run by the Word of God. Now, parents, I'm going to help you out with something. Just because your kids got 18 didn't flip the switch, they can do everything they please when they're living in your house. If it's your house, it's got house rules. And we live by the Word of God. I mean, you can't make them, you understand that. But you're in here, we're living by the Word. Your booze ain't coming in here. Your dope's not coming in here. See, you want the blessing on your house, don't you? Well, listen, you need to feed on the Word in your house. You need to speak the Word in your house. You need to live by the Word in your house. And then the blessing will be on your house. You know, Jesus was one time teaching, and this lady stood up when he's teaching and said, you know, blessed is the womb that bare you and the breast which you nursed. And he fired back. He said, blessed are those that hear the Word of God and do it. I mean, he just offended the Catholics right there. But anyway, well, you know what his mother said, whatever he says, do it. Hey, you know, we found out, you know, we don't pick on people. We found out here's what we found out. We came from, and so did the Caldemeyers. We came from an area, and Phyllis and I did when we were ministering to. We came from an area that was really Catholic dominated, strong Catholic. And we would have people come to our meetings, and, you know, they loved, and so did Pastor Jerry and the Hagman. So we came from a very strong Catholic area. But they would come to the meetings, you know, and some of them, they just loved what they got, but then Sunday they'd be back in Catholic church. And like, you get fed here and you pay over there. Okay, you get fed at Wendy's and you're paying at McDonald's. It made no sense, but, you know, it was just ingrained in them. But here, we had a guy come in one time. You may remember this guy. He said, I'm going to tell you what you guys need to do. You need to have a three-night seminar on the evils of Catholicism. I thought, dumb. That'd be our last ministry here. You know, what you need to do, and what we found out, is you need to show them that Mary was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I've said, did you know Mary was baptized? And all he goes, Mary was, she spoke a tongue. Yeah, she was in the upper room. Really? Yeah. Well, if it's good enough for Mary, it's good enough for me. See, I mean, you know, you can catch more flies with honey than come on. So, you know, and so, you know, here's the thing about having the Word of God in your house. When you do that, it just releases something in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. It releases something called the blessing. Amen? Amen. All right, go to Deuteronomy. I'm going to try to go fast here. Are you with me now?
Yes.
I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on any of these, but I want to get through them if we can. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's go there. So one, you activate the blessing by faith. Two, you activate the blessing by the Word being in your house. Let me just, I'm not jumping on to you. So listen, don't get offended at me. And if you do, get over it. But if all you get is the Word when you come to church, that's the problem in your household too. That's why you don't have the blessing or the peace or the prosperity that maybe you ought to have. Because the blessing's not there like it should be. I'm not saying it's not there. It's just not there like it could be. There's things that bring the blessing. And this is one of those things. Boy, it got quiet on that. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Are you in Deuteronomy? All right, Deuteronomy 28, let's look at verse 1. It says, "And it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice," everybody say voice, "of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto," there it is again, everybody say it, "voice of the Lord thy God." Number 3. You need to obey God's voice. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, God speaks to us. And you need to learn to listen and obey his promptings. Well, how does God speak to us? Well, most of the time, just by an inward witness. You know, there's people that are dead today because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. I'm thinking about when I first got saved, there was a Christian musician, very, very well known, very, very cutting edge for the day. You know, he was on the front edge of the contemporary Christian music. And you know, I just gotten saved, and I'd been saved for about 7 months or so. Found out he got killed in a plane crash. And everybody's just, you know, well, how could this happen? This guy, he loved God. He was a great minister for Jesus. His music really blessed a lot of people. How could God allow this to happen? That was like one of the questions. And, you know, it's like, well, one thing I know is God's not behind any of that. All right. I don't know all about what his situation was. At the time, I didn't know all about what his situation was. But I just know that God doesn't, he's not killing his servants in plane crashes. Right? And he's not protecting them. Does that make sense? And so, I don't know, sometime later, what do you call it when somebody writes your, is it autobiography or biography? Biography. Biography came out. His wife is the one who authored it. Okay? And she tells the story. He died in a plane crash, but she tells the story. She says, the day of when the crash happened, she said, the ministry had their plane, you know, there on their property. And they decided that they were going to go up for a ride. Nothing wrong with that. But they overloaded the plane. Now, I mean, there's something wrong with that. Because God's not going to protect you necessarily when you disobey laws. You know, are you with me now? You know, thank God for his mercy, but you just don't want to push that. You know, a minister that I preach for, he belongs to his organization is part of part of an organization that the head of the organization, his son-in-law, and 6 of them got killed in a plane crash because they were flying in Guatemala when, you know, a terrible storm was going on. It was actually Hurricane Mitch. And, you know, they were going to go land on the mountains there in Guatemala. And the pilot said, it's just too dangerous. We can't put this plane down here. And this is the head of the ministry. And, you know, he says, we need to go somewhere else to land this plane. It's just too dangerous right now. And the head of the ministry said, I got faith, put it down. He put it down, kill them all. Now, why didn't God protect him? Well, he should have listened to his pilot. That's what he hired him for, to fly the plane. You're to ride in the plane. He says, we can't land, we can't land. So anyway, when I read this book, the man's wife said, when he got ready, she said, I was pregnant at the time. And she said, when he got ready to get on the plane, he said this to me. He said, if I don't make it back, name the baby such and such. Now, when I read that, I thought, why would he say such a thing? Because the voice of the Lord had come to him and told him, don't do this. And he ignored it. It cost him his life. We've all made mistakes. Thank God they weren't that bad because you're still here. Right? But we've all missed it, right? And what got us out of the blessing? Well, it was not obeying the voice of the Lord. You know, maybe the Lord spoke to you or prompted you, don't do that, or don't go here. Don't, you know. Hallelujah. I mean, I got a prompting. I was going down the interstate the other day, and I was just going along. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice, there's a speed trap ahead. And I slowed down. And it sure was. It was. It was my GPS. But but it was a voice, and I obeyed it. I wasn't going that much over the speed limit. I hardly ever go over 5 miles over. And so, hardly ever, but occasionally. But having a, my GPS was trying to warn me, see? Trouble ahead, trouble ahead. I don't know why they, I don't know why that's legal, but it does. It tells me, you know, there's a speed trap ahead. Sure enough, I mean, within a mile, there was a policeman there, you know, with his radar on. Hallelujah. Of course, I usually always obey the speed limit, but that day, for some reason, I wasn't. Amen. So we got to obey the voice of the Lord, right? I could go deeper in this, but we don't have time. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6, all right? I know we're looking at a lot of scripture tonight, but I hope you're getting at least a nugget out of it. Numbers chapter 6. Thank God two people are getting something out of it. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6, let's go there. And the next one is, blessings are spoken. Blessings are spoken. You can speak blessings over your life or have blessings spoke over your life. Numbers 6, look what God said. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. This is the way you're going to bless the children of Israel. Saying unto them. So he's saying, you're going to bless them by saying something to them. And what are you going to say? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So blessings are spoken. Blessings are spoken. Did you know, you can speak curses over your own life. I mean, we all know the scripture in Proverbs says that death and life's in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Well, you know, blessings can be spoken, curses can be spoken by what you say. God told, and I love this, God told the children of Israel, he said, every seventh year, take the year off. Don't sow, take the year off. I like that scripture. And he said, if you say to me, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Well, that'd be a legitimate question, right? I mean, if God told you to take the year off, well, what am I supposed to do? And so God said, I'll tell you what. He said, what I'm going to do, he said, in the sixth year, I'm going to command my blessing, and it'll bring forth fruit for 3 years. In other words, you'll get so much out of when I speak a blessing over you, that it'll cause you to have 3 years worth of stuff. Wow. That's the power of the blessing. And there's a lot of teaching I'm skipping over, but we talked about it Sunday morning, how they really, you go in the Old Testament, they really believed in the blessing. You know, in Genesis 27, how Jacob and Esau trying to get their father's blessing. Amen? All right, now, number five. Come on, let's get through these things since we're this close. Let's go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Go there quickly. Psalm 133. The next one is unity. There's blessing in unity. Psalm 133 says this, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, or the anointing oil. They ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. So it's like that anointing, that came on the head. Well, Christ is the head now, right? And that anointing that comes from him flows down to the rest of the garment if we're in unity, see. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Notice this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So God commands the blessing when there's unity. Now, that means different things, too. It means we're not into strife with one another. Right? We're in unity. But it also means we're flowing in the same direction. You would be amazed what would happen. It doesn't happen very often. It's sad, but you would be amazed what would happen in a church service if during praise and worship everybody entered in and praised the Lord and just thought about Him. Right. You'd be amazed what happened. Mm-hmm. But you gotta watch it because the devil will try to get your thoughts during that time. He hates you to worship God. You'll be worshiping God and thinking about, dinner. What's in the oven? Where am I going to go? I mean, that's not the time to think about that. You can think about that later. Or, you know, you'll get people to just stand there just watching it like it's a show. But what would happen if everybody entered in? Come on. We're supposed to. It's the Bible. There's no place the Bible says, keep your mouth shut, you saints of the Lord. Not when it comes time to praise. There may be other times you need to keep your mouth shut, but not when it's time to praise God. What would happen if everybody got in unity? Well, I've seen it a few times. I can tell you what happens. The glory falls. I've seen it a few times. I don't know. You know, I remember one Sunday morning service at the Revival Center. It's hard to put your finger on why it happened this way this Sunday morning, but everybody entered in this Sunday morning. I don't know why they don't every Sunday morning, but everybody did. I'm telling you, the glory fell. We had five people get saved, and there wasn't even an altar call. Nobody invited them to come up. There were people we'd been praying for to get saved. Their spouses or parents or whatever came to the church. I remember that, you know, them coming down to the altar. You know, one came down, maybe another couple came down. Two younger ladies came down, gave their life to Jesus Christ. I remember kneeling down at the altar, you know, and giving their life to Jesus. And I remember just thinking, you know, we didn't give an altar call. We didn't call them down here, so don't even get involved. Why mess up what God's already started? Looks like he's doing it without my help or without Brother Eddie's help. Let's let it go. And we did. We just let it go. And of course, talked to them later, of course, but they all got saved. And they really got saved. One of them's pastor in a church today. Amen. Yeah. And the other one, her and her husband pastor a church. Amen. One of them's in heaven, so wow to that too. Amen. And the others, I don't know where they're at. I don't know, but maybe they're pastor in a church. I don't know. But anyway, you know, God knows what he's doing, but it just takes us getting into unity. Amen. All right, the sixth thing. Give me a few more minutes. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44. This is an unusual scripture. You may never have read this one before in your life unless you've read the whole Bible through. Ezekiel 44, go there. And the next one is, the blessing is released by our tithes and offerings. We all know what Malachi says. We don't have to go there, or we won't tonight, but Malachi talks about bringing all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in my house, says the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there's not room to receive it. So that released the blessing. Amen. And he went on to say that you'd be a delightsome land. Amen. And he would rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Need to know that, right? You know, someone said, you know, did you ever notice that your appliances, they have a 2-year warranty and they go out 2 year and 1 week? Well, start believing for the blessing over all your stuff. Amen. Now, you know, I wanted our refrigerator to go out. I quit saying it. Phyllis didn't like it. You know, it's not very old. You know, we bought it. It came new with the house. The house is like 6 years old or something like that. But I don't like the refrigerator. I just don't like the freezer. It's just not big enough. And so I've been speaking to it. I want you to go out. But I bought a smaller freezer, so I've resolved the issue. So I've quit saying that. But she would counter it, you know. I'm like, I'll be glad when the thing goes out, you know, because I want a new refrigerator. You know, I want one of those with the bottom freezer, with the big drawer, you know, where I can stick a lot of stuff. I like lots of stuff in my freezer. An empty refrigerator freezer makes me cry. And I like lots of stuff in there. And so you just can't put much. It's one of those side by side. You just can't put much in it. There's just not much room there. It just frustrates me. You open the door, stuff falls out. And I'm like, man, I wish you'd die. I wish you'd quit working. Because it doesn't make sense to go buy one if you're working. So quit. Die. No man get food out of you hereafter forever. But so far, it's still running. Amen. But anyway, I've resolved it now. I've got a freezer, so now it can keep going. Amen. Hallelujah. But But look at this in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 30. It says, and the first of all, the first fruits of all things, of every oblation or sacrifice of all, and every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough. I like that, you know, dough, money, right? Dough. That he may, now notice this, this is really important, that he may cause the blessing to rest in your house. You ever read that scripture before? That's talking about tithes and offerings. Talking about offerings here, Malachi talks about tithes, but that he may cause the blessing to rest in your house. Hallelujah. I want the blessing in my house. Now, last one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians as we close out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this will be it for tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I know I went through a lot of material tonight, but it's really important that we know how to walk in the fullness of this blessing. Now, if you don't, you know, like you don't want your blessing, I'll take yours. You know, people say, I don't believe in prosperity. Well, give me your paycheck. I'll help you out. Now, in Corinthians, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, Paul said, the cup of blessing, notice that blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So communion is brings the blessing in our life. Now, you know why? You know, we have communion here, like, the first Sunday of the month. But did you know, you don't have to wait till the first Sunday of the month to take communion. You can take it on your own. But it brings the blessing into your life. See, in the 11th chapter, in verse 26, Paul's talking about communion again. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show, or I like the word proclaim, the Lord's death till he come. So what are we doing? We're taking communion. Well, we're proclaiming the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ over our life. And it releases the blessing. If you do it in faith, you can receive a lot of things when you receive communion. You can receive healing, deliverance, different things. So these are just some things, you know, I'm sure there's other things in the Word, but these are just some things that will cause the blessing to be active in your life. Where you'll find yourself getting ahead in life, and you'll find yourself having, I guess I will. You'll find yourself having more than others do, because the blessing's on you. Faith, you got to believe for it. Have the word in your house. Obey the voice. Amen. Blessings spoken. Start speaking blessings. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Unity, stay in unity. Enter in, man. When we come to church, enter into what we're doing. Don't make us have to pull like we're pulling teeth. Enter in. You know, people say, I want the glory, I want the anointing. Well, it's not going to happen if you don't participate and you don't enter in. You got to add to it. Paul said, it's the mutual faith of both you and me. I used to go to this one little church years ago, and it was a small church. But every time I went, the glory of God would fall. Because they just all would just, no matter, you know, there was just a few of them, but they'd all enter in. And I was like, wow, I love coming here. Amen. You know, actually, the greatest service I've ever been in all my life, probably, there's only like four people there. Remember that night? I mean, it was like four people there. We were two of them. But they, all two of them, were running the aisles that night. Hallelujah. But, you know, we just, you know, we had a heart for God. So, see, God's not, you know, God's not, he didn't have to have numbers. Matter of fact, Brother Hagin used to talk about a couple that he knew. He said they had the greatest move of the Spirit of any church he ever saw in his life, which is saying something when you're talking about Brother Hagin, who's been around all those years and preached all those places and been all those places. He said this couple had the biggest, the greatest move of God, this Assembly of God church, and this couple that pastored it, he said, they had the greatest move of God, he said, I ever saw in any church ever. And he said they only had 300 people, and the guy's name was Goodwin. And people would say, well, Brother Goodwin, why don't you build on and have a bigger church? You know, if you'd build on, And you make, you know, more people would come, but, you know, you don't have room for them. He said, I don't want any more. He said, if I had more, they might not enter in. I like the move of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it isn't always about numbers. It's about unity. Right. Amen. So, you know, you need tithes and offerings and communion, see. So it's about unity, you know. It's not necessarily about the numbers. It's about, are we entering in?
Right. Right.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Are we entering in? Glory to God. One of our pastor friends, you know, I don't think you should take this approach, but I thought it was funny. It was during a question and answer for ministers and all. She just plainly said, I don't want any more people coming to our church. We got our strangest right. I don't want any more. Doc said, I was preaching one night. He said, I just made reference that prodigals are coming home. You know, there's a lot of prodigals left church, you know. They're out there. Prodigals are coming home. He said, the pastor's wife said, no! Don't. And I don't know what kind of prodigals they had, but she didn't want them back. No! Well, it isn't a matter of numbers. It's a matter of just entering in and having a hunger for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Having a hunger for His glory, having a hunger for His Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
We do that, He'll show up.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You know, Wigglesworth, this is my final story, Wigglesworth, because a lot of people think, well, when God moves in, I'll jump in and I'll do something, I act like I'm excited. Are you with me now? See, that's just wrong thinking, see. You got to jump in to stir the waters. Faith always moves. Right? Faith doesn't just wait. Faith moves. You know, and Wigglesworth, he was traveling somewhere one time, you know, and he was over in I forget what country he's in now. He might have been in England, which was where he's from. But anyway, he said he was just traveling. He's traveling by train, you know, and it was Sunday night, you know, Sunday night, and it was time for church. Or Sunday morning, maybe Sunday morning or Sunday night, but it was a Sunday, and it was time for church. And so, you know, he just got off at where the next stop, you know, got off in this town. He started looking for a church, you know. And so he found this church, and it was in those days, they had what they called brethren churches. In a brethren church, you know, they were a little different. The men would sit on one side, the women on the other side, you know. And so they kept them separated, you know. So he comes into this church, and he sits down, and he said, you know, they're not doing anything. They're just waiting for the Holy Spirit to start moving, and then they're going to do something. You know, they just sit there and wait, and whoever's got something, then, you know, you get up and do something, you know. So Wigglesworth said he sat there about 15 minutes. He's had enough of it, you know. So he got up there and said, brother, I got the word for today, you know. And he really didn't have any kind of unction from God. He just said, somebody move, do something. He said, here's the word from God. If the Spirit don't move, move the Spirit. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, he's not saying you force the Holy Ghost to do anything, but he's simply saying if you don't move, he's not going to move because he's the helper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, we need to jump in, step in, stir things up a little bit. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.